Hi, and welcome to the Words of Encouragement podcast, a podcast of love, hope, inspiration, and encouragement using the Word of God for people from all walks of life. And of course, I'm your host, Arlena. Welcome everyone, and thank you once again for joining me on another episode of the Words of Encouragement podcast. I hope and pray that each and every one of you are in the best of health, best of strength, and most importantly, in the best of spirits. And as always, before beginning, I'd like to start by giving all honor, all praises, and all glory to Father God Almighty, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, because without them, I am nothing. We are nothing. But because of Christ Jesus, we can do all things through Him who strengthens us, including myself. And because of Him, I can do this podcast as well as this podcast episode, as well as this series. So yes. Real quickly, I'd like to take some time out just to say thank you to each and everyone who stopped by to hit play, whether that's by hitting the play button or download. God bless you. Happy Holy Weekend. Today is March 30th. Saturday, March 30th, 2024. Where I am at, the temperature now is currently 53 degrees according to my computer. And the time now is currently 12:06 a.m. So, you know, I'm going to bed in the wee hours of the morning. I am currently sipping on a cup of Focus tea. Well, actually, I just finished it, but that's what's in my cup. With all the usuals, included the turmeric, cayenne pepper, and black pepper. No ACV. I ran out. I gotta get me some. So that's what was in my cup. I hope and pray that you or everyone had a wonderful, blessed, good Friday and Holy Thursday, of course. I also hope that you had the opportunity to catch the last 4 installments of this series. Either way, I will go ahead and leave links in the description box if you would like to get caught up on the series or you want to go back and listen to the first episode. The name and title of today's episode is It Is Finished. This is part 5 of the series entitled The Life, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. And more or less in this episode, we'll cover somewhere between, probably AD 30, somewhere between maybe AD 30 to AD 33 for sure. So just sit back, relax, grab yourself your favorite hot or ice cold beverage, and join me back here in a few. And then we'll get started. Oh, and by the way, this is episode number 149. Be blessed. Welcome everyone, and thank you once again for joining me on another episode of the Words of Encouragement podcast. I hope and pray that each and every one of you are in the best of health, best of strength, and most importantly, in the best of spirits. And as always, before beginning, I'd like to start by giving all honor, all praises, and all glory to Father God Almighty, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, because without them, I am nothing, we are nothing. But because of Christ Jesus, we can do all things through Him who strengthens us, including myself. And because of Him, I can do this podcast, as well as this podcast episode, as well as this series. So yes. Real quickly, I'd like to take some time out just to say thank you to each and everyone who stopped by to hit play, whether that's by hitting the play button or download. God bless you. Happy Holy Weekend. Today is March 30th. Saturday, March 30th, 2024. Where I am at, the temperature now is currently 53 degrees according to my computer. And the time now is currently 12:06 a.m. So you know, I'm going to bed in the wee hours of the morning. I am currently sipping on a cup of Focus tea. Well, actually, I just finished it, but that's what's in my cup. With all the usuals, included the turmeric, cayenne pepper, and black pepper. No ACV. I ran out. I gotta get me some. So that's what was in my cup. I hope and pray that you or everyone had a wonderful, blessed, good Friday. And Holy Thursday, of course. I also hope that you had the opportunity to catch the last 4 installments of this series. Either way, I will go ahead and leave links in the description box if you would like to get caught up on the series, or you want to go back and listen to the first episode. The name and title of today's episode is "It Is Finished." This is part 5 of the series entitled "The Life, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ." And more or less in this episode, we'll cover somewhere between, probably AD 30, somewhere between maybe AD 30 to AD 33 for sure. So just sit back, relax, grab yourself your favorite hot or ice cold beverage, and join me back here in a few. And then we'll get started. Oh, and by the way, this is episode number 149. Be blessed. Are you looking to spice up your quiet time Bible time with the Lord? Well, guess what? I might just have the right thing to help you. There is nothing better than being able to spend quality and intimate time with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and in His Word. For many of us, this may look different from day to day. Check out my 20-piece digital quiet time Bible study bundle. It comes with 6 topical scripture writing plans to encourage and uplift you, as well as to help you get into the Word of God. So if you're ready to dig deeper, or simply ready to give your Bible study a boost, check out my 20-piece Quiet Time Bible Study Bundle and other digital Bible study resources at Jehira Print Shop. The link will be featured in the description box. And as always, I'd like to take the time out to say thank you to each and every one of you. I do hope and pray that you will be blessed. You are listening to the Words of Encouragement podcast with yours truly, Arlena. Stay tuned. Okay, so welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Okay, so let's just go ahead and jump on into it because we got, once again, quite a bit that needs to be covered. And I will be starting today from John 18. And all scripture today will be read either from the New King James or the King James Version. So yeah, once again, the name and title of this episode is It Is Finished. This is episode number 1, 4, either 8 or 9. I'm not sure, but it's either one of them. So yeah. So now after Jesus had finished praying for the believers, now, you know, we left off in chapter 17. He went out with his disciples over to the brook Cedron, which is a brook that was located in a ravine that was between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives, that was where he, of course, did the Sermon on the Mount in reference to the Beatitudes. Now, there was a garden, and I am assuming that this was of the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm assuming. And the reason why I'm assuming this is because of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus and his disciples entered into the garden, and of course, Judas Iscariot, the one that would betray him, knew exactly where Jesus would be, because he had, you know, Jesus often went there with his disciples, according to the book of John. And of course, when the men came to arrest Jesus, Judas was present with a group of men. And of course, in that group was also the officers as well as the servants of the chief priests. And if I'm not mistaken, it also said in the book of John, also the Pharisees. They came with torches, weapons, and lanterns to arrest Jesus. And when they arrived, Jesus asked them, who were they looking for? And listen to what their reply was. Their reply was, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus replied to them and said, I am he. He identified himself. The Bible tells us that when Jesus answered, they fell backwards to the ground. I wonder why. Not sure. I was supposed to look that up, but I didn't get a chance to. So yeah, that's something I'm going to just have to look up for my own personal knowledge. He then asked them, again, whom seek ye? And once again, they answered and said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus' response to them again, this time was, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Now, this was in reference to the disciples who were with him, which most likely was, I know Peter was one, probably Peter, John, and maybe Mark. Peter then took his sword and cut off the ear of the guard of the high priest, whose name was Malchus. Jesus then told Peter to put away his sword. Jesus was willing to die in order for the Father's will to be fulfilled. And the will of the Father was for Jesus to die in our place as the sacrificial lamb for our sins. And of course, Jesus was bounded. He was taken by the group of men and, of course, by the captain and the officers of the Jews. And they led him away to Ananias first, who, of course, was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the current, the present, I guess, is that the right word, appointed high priest at the time. Now, according to Know the Word study commentary, it says that Ananias was the high priest from AD 7 to AD 14, and he was later disposed by the Romans, and of course, Caiaphas, who was his son-in-law, was appointed in his place, where Caiaphas ended up serving as high priest from AD 18 to AD 37. Now, according to the Jewish law, the high priest was a lifetime position. And because of this, the Jews still considered Ananias as the high priest. So, of course, they took Jesus to Ananias first. Also, Caiaphas was the one who also prophesied to the Jews that it was important that one man should die for the people. And this was actually fulfilling prophecy. He didn't even realize that what he said, he was actually fulfilling prophecy, because indeed one man did have to die for the people. And of course, that man was none other than Jesus Christ himself, the greatest man to ever walk the face of this earth. And when Jesus was apprehended, both Peter and John, they both followed Jesus. Now, the apostle John knew Caiaphas, and he went in with Jesus into the palace. Peter, because he was not known, could not enter. John went and spoke to the person who was guarding the door and told them to let Peter in. And that's how Peter was able to enter into the outer court. Now, the young lady who was keeping watch at the door, at the gate, asked Peter, "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" And Peter's reply was, "I am not." He denied Jesus, and that was the first denial. Then the Bible tells us in John 18:18, that the officers, the servants, along with Peter, stood over, or actually around a fire, where they each warmed themselves because they were cold. And the Bible also tells us it was cold. So clearly Jesus was crucified during a cold period. And just imagine when I read that, because you know, the synoptic gospels don't really record that. John is a little different than the other three gospels, even though they're all the four gospels. But the first three are written like from the same point of view, because they were all eyewitnesses at the same time, including John. And of course, if I'm not mistaken, I think, was it Luke? Yeah, Luke is the physician. Luke was the physician. And of course, Mark, when I did the study, if I remember correctly, Mark was writing from Peter's point of view. When I read that yesterday, because I don't like the heat, but I don't like the cold either. Now, I've lived part of my life in New York City, originally from New York City, and I do not like the winters, let me just tell you. And just a thought, and sometimes guess what? You are well dressed, but you're still freezing. And I just imagine Jesus being stripped naked, beaten, with a thorn as a crown placed on his head, dragging his cross in the cold. And I was like, wow. At least Peter still had a fire that he could warm himself. But that came to me. Never thought of it before, but I did yesterday. So yeah. So Jesus was then, of course, taken to Ananias, the former high priest, where he was questioned or interrogated by Ananias concerning his disciples as well as his doctrine. And Jesus answered the high priest in verse 21 and said, and this is the King James Version, "Why ask thou me?" He said, "Ask them which heard me." In other words, why are you asking me? Ask them. Kind of reminds me when Jesus, you know, he healed the blind beggar and the Pharisees brought in his parents to know if he was born blind. And they did verify that he was born blind. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees were like, okay, so how is it if he was born blind? How is it now that he can see? And his parents was like, he's the age, ask him. But they knew exactly how his eyes were open, because the Bible clearly tells us that. And it also says that because they were afraid of being excommunicated, because back in those days, those Sadducees, the brood of vipers, which is the Sadducees and the Pharisees put together, the scribes and all them high priests put together, the brood of vipers, the whitewashed tombs, like Jesus called them. They did not want anyone to even speak about Jesus or call his name. Because if they did, much less if they believed, they would have been excommunicated from the temple and they would not have been able to do business and support themselves. So the blind beggar's parents were afraid of that. So rather than telling the truth, they said, he's the age, ask him. And then Jesus' words were, they love the praises of men rather than the praise of God. So when Jesus finished answering, one of the officers who was standing nearby struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. So then Jesus answered and said, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? That was the King James Version. And that was taken from John 18 verses 23. And the New King James Version says, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? And when Ananias was finished questioning him, he sent him to Caiaphas the high priest with his two hands bound, like he was a common criminal. And of course, Caiaphas was the current presiding high priest, and he was also the son-in-law of Ananias. So now let us move on to John 18 verses 25 to 27, where once again Peter denies Jesus, but this time two more times, in addition to the first time that he denied him, which was in John 18 verses 15 to 18. This time though, when Peter finished denying Jesus for the third time, the cock crowed just as Jesus initially prophesied. Now, this is the very same Peter who promised to lay down his life for Jesus. Now listen to what Jesus predicted concerning Peter's denial. And this is in John 13. I'm reading from verse 36 to 38, once again using the New King James Version. And it reads, Peter Simon said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. And just as Jesus predicted Peter's denial, that's exactly how it happened. And indeed, Peter did deny Jesus three times. And after the third time, the rooster crowed. And of course, later on, Peter would feel so bad. But later on, after Christ's death and resurrection, Peter became one of the boldest and probably one of the greatest apostles of all time. And of course, he's my favorite as well. But yeah, it just goes to show you, it's never too late to turn things around. As long as you got Jesus, remember that, you know? So yeah. Jesus was then later brought to Pontius Pilate. So, first he was taken to Ananias, where Ananias interrogated him concerning his disciples as well as his doctrine. Then he was sent to Caiaphas, who was the high priest. So, after Caiaphas, he was sent or brought before Pontius Pilate. Now, after Jesus was taken to Caiaphas, the high priest, so Jesus went from Ananias, and then from Ananias, he went to Caiaphas, the high priest. And then after Caiaphas, he was led later on, still bound, to Pontius Pilate. And once he was led to Pontius Pilate, he was later led there into the Hall of Judgment. Now that's how the King James Version refers to it, as the Hall of Judgment. And the Bible tells us that it was early and that they, being the officials themselves, did not go into the judgment hall so that they would not be defiled, so that they would be able to eat for Passover. So you see what they were worried about? Now, I wanted to know exactly, like, what did that mean? So, of course, I went digging deeper as usual. Now, according to Enduring the Word commentary, when Jesus was first taken to Ananias for interrogation, Ananias later sent him to Caiaphas, which we know, for a two-part trial. Now, the book of John does not cover it as closely. It gives you like bits and snippets. So if you want a more in-depth, you would have to go to one of the other three gospels. So that's why you see me kind of just moving a little, trying to progress the story a little further, faster. Now, according once again to Enduring the Word commentary, the first trial was a hastily gathered assembly of the council, which can be found recorded, of course, in Matthew 26, verses 57 to 68. So just in case if you wanted to read about that, you can. The year before, I did it using the Book of Matthew. So I have an episode, I think like from 2 years ago, that covers all that other part where they were having the Last Supper and, you know, the whole nine yards. And when they fell asleep in the garden, you can find all that information in either Matthew, Mark, or Luke. But the Book of John is a little different. Very interesting. I must say I'm really loving the Book of John. I didn't think I would love it as much as the other three, but I kind of have to say I think I love it even more, even though the Book of Luke is my favorite, because the Book of John kind of really shows Jesus in a way, I guess, like his human side at one point. And then at the same time, it also shows his, you know, his deity. So if you would like to read more about those trials, once again, you can read them in Matthew 26 from verses 57 to 68. Now, the second trial was the official daylight meeting of the Sanhedrin, which can be found in Luke 22, verses 66. But I'm going to read something real quickly here from Luke 22, 66, and it reads, "As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and the scribes, came together and led him into their council." Now, like I said before, the Gospel of John more focuses on the appearance of Jesus Christ before the Roman leader, Pontius Pilate, whereas the others, they go more in depth where he was taken to Ananias and Caiaphas. But for John, he focuses more of Jesus appearing before the Roman Empire, which of course at that time was led by none other than Pontius Pilate. Now, the judgment hall, as the KJV refers to it, was the headquarters in the Roman camp where the commander and chief were found. Now, whether they lived there or not, I don't know. I guess you can say it's kind of like the White House, like a, you know, their type of White House, something to that effect. Now, if they lived there, I'm not sure. But according to Eastern Dictionary, it is known as the Praetorian, which is a common hall. The revised versions refer to it, as the palace. I do apologize. I've just been busy and I'm tired today, so please forgive me. And it's 12:58. So, yeah. So, once again, according to Eastern Dictionary, Praetorium, which is a common hall. Now, the revised versions refers to it as the palace. So, the palace, this was the palace of the high priest. And, of course, the Latin word is rendered Praetorium, meaning literally the residence of the praetor, and then the governor's residence in general. Now, verse 28 really stood out here for me in John 18, the part where it says, "They themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." So I needed to know, what is this really trying to say to me here? Now, once again, according to EWC, which is Enduring Word Commentary, the Apostle John used an ironic touch to expose the hypocrisy of the Jewish rulers. They refused to break relatively small commands regarding ceremonial defilement, but they broke far greater commands in rejecting the Son of God and condemning an innocent man to death. Now, according to Trapp, as in John Trapp. This is what he had to say. Putrid hypocrisy. They stand upon legal defilements and care not to defile their consciences with innocent blood. What is this but to strain at a gnat and swallow a camel? And of course, finally, Pilate decides to come out. And when he finally arrived in Jesus' presence, he asked, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" And listen to what they, being his accusers, answered and said. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." So here we have his accusers calling him an evildoer. The greatest man to ever walk the face of this earth, the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Israel, the Alpha and the Omega. That's how the book of Revelation refers to him as, the first and the last. The true vine, the good shepherd, the bread of life, King of all kings, Lord of all lords. But here we have his accusers calling him anything but the Son of God. Now, as children of the Most High God through Christ Jesus, we also are going to experience a lot of what Jesus experienced while he was still here with us on the face of this earth. Jesus himself left us with words of warning about some of the things that we would experience. And actually, it started with the disciples when he left those words for them. And of course, for us as believers and those who are to come later on. He told us in advance the things that we will experience because of his name's sake and because we are not of this world. And because we are not of this world, the world hates Jesus. And because we are of Christ, they hate us because they hate him. And remember, they hated him first. And Jesus also told us that because we are not of this world and they hate us, it's because Satan's children are of the world. And because they are of the world, they are going to persecute us. And they're going to lie on us. They're going to call us every kind of evil name, but a child of God. And that's the truth. They are going to call us every living single name in the book that goes against God or his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us that they will hand us over to be killed, thinking that they are doing God a favor, when in reality, they themselves do not even know God. Because if you don't know the Son, you cannot know God. And if you don't have the Son, you do not have God. Jesus also tells us that if they love and received him, then they will also love and receive us. However, if they do not love or did not love and receive him, they won't love and receive us either. Remember, that Jesus chose us out of the world. He tells us so, himself. They hate us because they do not know Jesus, nor do they know God the Father. And Jesus himself said this because the reality is they are the children of darkness. And these people who are accusing Jesus and handing him over in order for him to be killed and coming against him, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests and the elders, because they were children of darkness. So even though the light was in the world with them, they couldn't comprehend the light, because guess what? They don't know nothing about the light because there was no light in them. So, yes, back. So Pilate goes ahead and he tells the people to take him and to judge him themselves according to their law, which of course was the Jewish law. Now listen to what his accusers answered and said. It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. So they were looking for someone else to do the dirty work for them. And of course, they were looking for Pontius Pilate to do the job. Now, according to Know the Word Study Bible commentary, the Romans did not allow the Jews to impose capital punishment. Now, according to this source, the Jewish leaders had no interest in a just trial. They simply wanted permission from Rome to have Jesus executed. So they didn't even want to hear anything that Jesus had to say. Jesus was condemned. They did not want to hear anything. Their minds were made up. They did not want to hear one single thing. All they knew is they wanted him gone, dead. But guess what? Just like how they condemned Jesus without even so much as listening to the truth or even giving him a chance to even try to explain the truth if he chose to do so, they automatically just condemned him the same way they and their father, which is the father of all lies. Well, for sure, the father of all lies has been condemned. So they were trying to do, their father Satan was trying to get them to do to Jesus, the Son of God, what God had already done to him, which is condemn Satan. Satan is condemned. There's no going back where he is concerned. Neither those demons that left to follow him. They have already been judged. It's just an appointed time when everything will take place, but they have no other course. There's no heaven for them to inherit. They're going to one place when that time comes. And that's going to be the lake, which is the ultimate destination. You got hell first, and then, of course, the next stop, judgment, and then the lake of fire. Well, they don't stand judgment. They already judged, so they're going to get thrown straight into the lake of fire. They're going to baptize it. Now, Pilate proceeded at this point to question Jesus. And he asked him if he was the king of the Jews, like the people were accusing him of saying. And Jesus replied and said to him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Now Pilate answers Jesus in return and says, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" That's the King James Version. Now, the New King James Version reads, and this is verse 35. Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? I believe it's in the Gospel of Matthew, but it's one of the Gospels where Jesus tells us that a man's enemies in the last days will be from his own household. And in this case, this is kind of like his own household, because it was his own people that rejected him. They rejected him, whereas the Gentiles were more open to receiving the message of salvation. Even the Samaritans. But the Jews rejected. Now that doesn't mean that's every Jew now. But they did not believe, and there's still many today that do not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because they're the chosen people. Yes, indeed, they're chosen. God definitely has chosen them. They were chosen before us. We were grafted in because of what Christ did on the cross. We were adopted in spiritually. But they were chosen. And I think they go by this thing of being chosen. Yeah, you are chosen. But you still need Christ. Christ came to die for every one of us. So you still need Jesus. But a lot of them believe that they don't need Jesus because they're already chosen by God. So they're going straight to heaven. And no, they're not. Unless they got Jesus. No Jesus, no heaven. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew, Greek, Gentile, Roman, whatever you are. Black, white, pink, or purple. There's only one way to the Father. And that's by none other than Jesus Christ. Yeah, you could be chosen. And they are the chosen nation. But no Jesus. The only chosen going to be is you're going to be chosen straight to hell. Mm-hmm. And that does not just apply to them. It goes for any one of us that might not have Christ. We cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless we have Jesus. If that's the case, there would be no need for Jesus to come down here to be crucified. He came to die that we could have a chance to have everlasting life, because we were already condemned had he not come. There wasn't even room for us to enter. But because the Jews rejected, the door was open for the Gentiles to come in, to receive that word, because we understood and we received it. But a lot believe that they don't need Jesus to go to heaven. That'll be a very rude awakening if they were to leave the face of this earth without Christ. Yeah. So now I'm going to be reading from John 19. I'm going to be reading from 36 to 40. And I will be reading from the New King James Version. I do apologize. Not John 19. I will be reading from John 18, verse 36 to 40. And it reads, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Then they all cried again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas, according to the Bible, was a robber. They traded a king for a criminal. Jesus was then taken and he was then beaten. And the Bible tells us that the soldiers then plaited a crown of thorns and placed it on his head and dressed him in a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. Now, after all of this, as they had beat him and mocked him, the Bible tells us that Pilate went forth again. Now, this is after beating him and mocking him, having him beaten and, you know, and having a robe placed on him and a crown of thorns placed on his head. Pilate goes back out again for the second time to the people. And this is what he says. And this time I'm reading from the King James Version. He says, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. And now this is, we're in John 19, and this is verse 4. And then Pilate himself said, he found no fault in him. But yet, he had Jesus scourged, a crown of thorns placed on his head, as well as a purple robe placed on him while they mocked him. Clearly, they did not know what they were doing, because if they really knew what they were doing, I think they would have done differently if they had some sense. But when you are a child of darkness, you don't, especially when it comes to the things of God. And of course, their father was none other than Satan. So then they took Jesus and they brought him out once again. And they placed him with his robe along with the crown of thorns that was placed on his head. And the Bible tells us in verse 6 of John 19, that when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate once again told the Jews to take him and crucify him themselves. And once again, they answered and said, We have a law, and by our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Now verse 8 tells us that when Pontius Pilate heard that saying, meaning the Son of God, he was even more afraid, but still not enough to do the right thing by actually letting Jesus go. Because he himself said it on two occasions, I find no fault in him. But yet, however, prophecy had to be fulfilled, which meant that Jesus had to die in order for both you and I and the world to have the opportunity to be redeemed. And when they brought Jesus back into the judgment hall, Pilate said to him, "Where are you from?" And the Bible tells us in verse 9 of John 19 that Jesus gave him no answer. I always thought this was such a powerful scene. And this is something I need to learn, like for real. So now I will be reading from verse 10 to 42. So I'm going to do a little bit of reading. And I will be reading from the New King James Version. And once again, I will be reading from chapter 19 of the book of John, from verse 10 to verse 42. So just sit back, relax, and yeah. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has a greater sin." And we know who that was, which was Judas. Even though Pontius Pilate was the authorized official to have Jesus crucified, the guilt, or I guess the greater sin, lied not with Pontius Pilate, but with Judas. So sometimes, you know, we join people, or not we, but there's some people out there that join together against innocent people. Be very careful, especially when it's children of the Most High God. Because this is Jesus speaking, he says clearly, "Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Be careful. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." So they were more interested in Caesar than they were in the King of Kings. And then it goes on. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat. The judgment seat. That's the seat where the judgment will take place up in heaven. Well, before God's throne. In a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now, it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, we are called to bear our cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Yes, indeed, that he is the king. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to each soldier apart, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said, therefore, among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and of course Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has testified, and he who has seen, testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled: not one of his bones shall be broken. And again another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Now, if you remember Nicodemus, he was the one that asked Jesus, "How is it? What do I need to do in order to be born again?" When Jesus told him, he asked, "How do I receive the kingdom of God?" And Jesus answered him and said, "You must be born again." And he's like, "How do I be born again? Like, how do I do this?" This is the very same Nicodemus. Now, then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. So now we have arrived not just at the end of the reading of those passages of scripture, we have also arrived at the end of this episode. And of course, this is part 5 of the series entitled The Life, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. And once again, the name and title of this episode is It Is Finished. It Is Finished. The last and final part of this series will be released on Sunday, March 31st, God willing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for providing your only begotten Son as a sacrificial lamb and redeemer for our sins, so that we might not be condemned eternally, but instead that we might receive life eternally through Christ Jesus, who died for our sins. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So now we have arrived at the quote of the episode. And this episode's quote is, "Behold, I find no fault in him, because there was no sin in him." And of course, that quote is from none other than Pontius Pilate. But if I was to also choose another quote, I would choose, "It is finished." Yeah, it is finished. By Jesus. Yeah. Okay. So, once again, I'd like to take this time out to say thank you to each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune in by either hitting play or download. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Words of Encouragement podcast. I do hope and pray that this episode, as well as this podcast or this series, has been a blessing to you. And indeed, if it has, please feel free to share it with someone. Remember that the gospel is free. It does cost us, but it's free to you. Please share it so that someone might be able to benefit from it. We are living in some serious times. And it is important that if we already know who Jesus is and we are in Christ, that we continue to follow him. We continue to seek the face of the Father, because we are in some serious times. And if you are someone that reads your Bible, I'm not talking about a casual Christian or just a Christian in name, but someone that tried to walk that walk. I'm not talking about a perfect Christian, because there's no perfect person. The one perfect person we just read about, and they crucified him. But we must continue to hold on and to walk the walk despite the cost. Many have gone on before us who were killed because of the faith, but they stood their ground. And we must do the same. We must not bow the knee to the devil or his cohorts. So, on that note, you can find the podcast at googlepodcast.com, Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, CastBox, everywhere that podcasts can be heard. You can also feel free to check out my other podcast, which is entitled The Nuggets of Thankfulness Podcast, which is also featured on iTunes.com, Spreaker, Podomatic, CastBox, Deezer, Podtail, and everywhere that podcasts can be heard. And on that note, remember, it is never too late. As long as there's life, it's never too late to accept Christ. The key is, now is the time. Don't put off salvation, which is something that you can do today, until tomorrow. Because no man is promised tomorrow. Many have gone on, and they have left this world without Jesus Christ. Do not be that person if you have not yet received him. If you already have, well, let us continue to hold on and pray for one another as we take this journey called the walk of faith through Christ Jesus. So I will see you in the next episode. Be blessed. When the time comes around, this coming Sunday, happy Resurrection Sunday. Because guess what? Just like it is finished, so he is risen. Oh yeah. So to God be all honor and all glory. We give him all thanks, all praises, for none other. For him being God, and of course for providing his only begotten Son. And we thank God for our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So peace, be blessed. God bless you.